In part two of our series on Clearing the Air, KUER's Terry Gilday takes a look at what state lawmakers are doing. The legislature gets its first look at several gun bills, and Senator Orrin Hatch brings gloom and doom to the House and Senate floor. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, February 21st. I'm Brian Grimmett. As Utahns persist through one of the worst winter inversion seasons in a decade, many have focused their frustration and anger over dirty air on elected officials in the Utah legislature. In part two of our series, Clearing the Air, KUER's Terry Gilday explores the short and long-term solutions lawmakers are proposing.
On a clear day, the view from the steps of the Utah State Capitol can be a stunning picture of the Salt Lake Valley. But during the nearly two dozen red air quality days so far this year, filthy air enveloped the historic marble building, and cries for action inside the Capitol grew louder. Protests in the rotunda have become a frequent sight. In January, Utah doctors converged on the Capitol, declaring a health emergency with a petition signed by more than 100 healthcare professionals. While both Republicans and Democrats mentioned air quality as a priority, the session began without any filed legislation on the issue. But as public pressure mounted, members of the Democratic minority in the Utah House were the first to introduce a plan in week three of the session.
The bills that we're going to present today are ideas that have come in part from the research and advocacy of many people in our community and in state government.
That's Representative Patrice Arendt from Mill Creek. She and four other Democratic lawmakers are proposing up to six bills they hope will move the state in the right direction. Their plan includes requiring state agencies to reduce activities that cause pollution and compel industry to use the best available equipment to scrub emissions from the air. Arendt is concerned this year's inversions have already had a negative effect on Utah's economy.
I flew in January with a plane full of people going to the outdoor retailers and to Sundance, and they weren't too happy with what they were seeing. So this affects our economy. It certainly affects health care costs. I don't think we can afford not to do this. We've got to make efforts. Will we solve all the problems? No. Is there an easy solution? Absolutely not. But we need to be doing everything we can to clean up our air.
Also included is legislation to provide income tax credits for those who purchase UTA passes and subsidize free transit passes in the months of January and July. Representative Joel Briscoe of Salt Lake is sponsoring the transportation bills in the package. He's still working with legislative research and the UTA to pinpoint exactly how much the subsidies and tax breaks would cost. But he says increasing mass transit ridership would help reduce the tailpipe emissions responsible for more than half of Utah's particulate pollution problem.
Even if the legislature were appropriate enough money to try it once, our air is so bad, it's having an impact on our health care costs and the ability of people to bring and retain workers and expand businesses, that for the sake of good business, for the sake of good health, we should give it a try.
But Briscoe, Arendt, and the rest of the minority Democratic caucus have to convince a Republican supermajority that their bills are worth passing. Representative Brad Dee is the Republican House Majority Leader. He says his party is more focused on what he calls long-term solutions to the air quality problem.
We need to get more proactive with the one contributor that's about 60% of our pollutants in this valley. And there's no question what it is. We all understand what it is, and it's private vehicles. So we've either got to get a better education program about driving less and being smarter with our transit, or we've got to provide alternatives.
So far, two Republicans, Representatives Jack Draxler and Laurie Snow, are sponsoring bills that would extend and strengthen tax credits for those who operate clean fuel vehicles. Majority Leader Dee believes cleaner fuels, especially the use of compressed natural gas, or CNG, is a solution because it would reduce air pollution while at the same time providing larger economic opportunities for Utah.
Now we create an infrastructure system across the state, localized maybe on the I-15 corridor, that provides the ability to fuel those vehicles throughout the state of Utah and also provides the gas to fuel them with.
Dee says Republicans in the House and Senate will introduce legislation to build more CNG fueling stations. He expects the bills to be released about 10 days before the session is scheduled to end on March 15th. But will that be enough time for the bills on air quality offered by both parties to get votes in both chambers? House Speaker Rebecca Lockhart says it's possible.
As we come towards the end of the session, it's normal practice for us to reprioritize, to take all of the bills off of the calendar and look at what are the important issues we have to get done. And we will reorder some of those bills to make sure that we address those issues before the session ends.
The other looming factor in the bad air debate at the Capitol is a proposed budget cut of more than $200,000 to the Department of Environmental Quality. As part of an effort to consolidate the department, the cuts would eliminate several positions, including one in the Division of Air Quality. Republican Senator Lyle Hilliard is the co-chair of the Executive Appropriations Committee. He says next week the budget writing process begins that could determine whether the DEQ will be cut.
So when we sit down with them, we're going to say, you're going to have this much money, you're going to have this much cuts, how it's going to be, and then we'll talk through how best to implement that. And so if they have reallocations within their budget that makes sense, I'll support that.
When asked this week if he would support a budget that would eliminate a position in the Division of Air Quality, Governor Gary Herbert didn't offer a clear answer.
It's hard for me to say whether this position is going to be critical or not. Could we use more money, more personnel? Probably so. What we need is better meteorology at the end of the day. You know, last year we had one exceedance of PM 2.5. This year we've had 20. And it's all because of meteorology, not because of anything else. So maybe get me another better weatherman.
Despite the current efforts in the works, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they will continue to bring more attention to air quality issues in the state, even after the 45-day legislative session for the year has ended. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
State lawmakers considered a handful of firearm bills in committees on Wednesday. About half of the measures reinforce the status quo or make guns more available to Utahns. KUER's Whitney Evans has the details on the current proposals.
Members of the House Judiciary Standing Committee approved a bill that would end the requirement for a person 21 or older to have a concealed weapons permit. House Bill 76, sponsored by Republican Representative John Mathis, applies only to individuals who can already legally possess a firearm. Mathis says it doesn't change the type of firearm a gun owner can carry or where they can carry it. He says it only creates unified guidelines for how people carry.
In my world, we use horses still. We move cattle. We go fishing. And it's quite common to carry a gun on a saddle. If I don't have a concealed weapon permit, I have to have the gun unloaded to carry with me. If it starts to rain or if it gets cold, I put a jacket on. Now I'm breaking the law.
Monica Bellinger is with Utah Parents Against Gun Violence. She's worried HB 76 will allow people to conceal weapons without training the law currently requires.
We feel like that's kind of eliminating a step in the process. You know, I've taken a concealed carry permit class. I feel like that's a good minimal standard. They go through a screening process. We feel like we don't want a bill that would remove those requirements.
Sam Fidler attended the hearing with his 18-year-old son, Michael, who had a handgun strapped to his hip. Fidler noted his son couldn't wear his coat in the building because he doesn't have a concealed weapon permit. Fidler says he does not believe HB 76 weakens current state law, but he says it will likely increase the number of people who do carry.
Now, there's a lot of people that openly carry that don't have permits. This just allows them to continue to do so in the wintertime or during bad weather or if they decide to wear a sport coat like I am today.
HB 76 passed out of the committee on a 7-2 vote along party lines. The same committee decided to delay action on another bill that permits state law enforcement personnel to arrest federal officers for attempting to seize weapons from Utah residents, citing federal law. HB 114 is sponsored by Republican Representative Brian Green. The committee plans to continue its consideration of that bill during its next meeting scheduled Friday. House Bill 268, sponsored by Republican Representative Paul Ray, passed out of the House Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice Committee with some opposition. The bill confirms that displaying a dangerous weapon in public is not disorderly conduct. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Republican U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch says the looming federal budget cuts, known as sequestration, will be a difficult chapter for Americans, but necessary to get spending under control. Speaking to lawmakers in the Utah Senate yesterday, Hatch said every military installation in the country is going to face drastic changes for a short period of time, and that will include Hill Air Force Base.
I've got to say, it could be devastating to our nation's readiness. Now, I'm for sequestration, so please don't misconstrue that. I just want you to be aware it isn't a simple little matter.
Hatch says Hill Air Force Base will experience a loss to civilian employees of around $86 million, or about an 11.5% cut. He says social programs must be targeted, pointing to comments that Mitt Romney made during the presidential campaign that 47% of the people who vote for president rely on the federal government and believe they're victims.
He was wrong. It's actually 51%. Now, in that 51% are a lot of good people, retired veterans, disabled people, elderly, and so forth. But we have an ever-increasing number of people who can work but can't get jobs, or won't work if the jobs aren't what they want.
Hatch told lawmakers increasing revenue will not solve the problem, simply allow Congress to spend more money the country doesn't have.
The Utah Senate has passed a bill that would require the state to collect more information about abortions that take place in the state. The Senate voted 23-5 in favor of the proposal today. The five Democrats opposed it. The bill from Senator Margaret Dayton of Orem would require the State Department of Health to produce an annual report to lawmakers. The College Board says Utah ranks 11th in the country for high school students who score well on advanced placement tests. 22% of Utah high school students score a 3 or higher on tests for AP English, History, or Math. The national average is 19.5%. Utah's AP rank, though, dropped one spot last year from the year before. An Air Force A-10 fighter jet had to make an emergency landing in Price this week. It was on its way to Hill Air Force Base from a base in Tucson when one of its engines quit. Crews from Hill have gone to Price to inspect the jet. The A-10 became famous as the warthog that backed up ground forces in the first Gulf War. And finally, the Arizona Department of Transportation has closed U.S. 89 about 25 miles south of Page. It says a 150-foot section of pavement has buckled, though they aren't sure why. Traffic headed south toward Flagstaff will have to detour on Highway 98 and then back along Highway 160 through Tuba City. And that is your KUBR News Pod for Thursday, February 21st. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.